We're turning this evening once again to the first book of Samuel and to the 23rd chapter, 1 Samuel and chapter 23. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors." Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah." And David's men said unto him, "Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So David and his men went to Keilah, and fought with the Philistines, and brought away their cattle, and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass, when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, "God hath delivered him into mine hand. For he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars." And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah to beseech David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring hither the ephod." Then said David, "O Lord, God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then said David, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me up, me and my men, into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver thee up." Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph, in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood, and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth." And they too made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, "Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds, in the wood, in the hill of Hachilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into thy king's hand." And Saul said, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is, and who hath seen him there, for it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. See therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah." And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David. Wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, For Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, Haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David, and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Selah Hamahelok. That's not right. Hamachlokoth. I should have read that before I started, shouldn't I? And got the pronunciation right. Selah Hamahelokoth. And David went up from thence, and David and dwelt in the strongholds at En-Gedi. Amen. And some people, some preachers I've heard, when they come to words like that, they just shout hallelujah and carry on. But I like to get the words right if I can, and really should have practiced that one. Now let's bow our heads in prayer and seek the Lord's face. Our Father, we give thee thanks that we are able once again to open up the scriptures of truth. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst guide our meditations through the words which are written here. We know, Lord, that these are more like chronicles than the Gospels of the New Testament. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help us even here to recognize the work of the Spirit of God, who brings forth many lessons for us. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And Lord, we pray that we might profit thereby, and that we might grow in understanding. And Lord, that these things that we read also might stay with us. We know, Lord, that often when we read in other parts of the scripture, things can come back to us. Things that we have read, things that we have heard, things, O Lord, which can be useful. And so, Father, we pray that thou wouldst help us to give our attention tonight. And Lord, that thou wouldst direct and guide our steps in all the way that we go in our lives. And Lord, though we may not be dealing with a king who seeks to take our heart or seeks to take our life, Lord, nevertheless, we know that there is a battle going on. And we trust in thee that thou wilt deliver us. Bless us then, we pray, and continue with us this evening in the Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. So we've been considering the beginning of this chapter, and we saw how that David came down to Keilah to fight against the Philistines. And I sought to emphasize those words that as the Philistines robbed the threshing floors, so David, in verse 5, fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. And so he defeated them and took from them those things that they had. And so he turned the tables on them, and they were impoverished, and the people of Keilah and indeed David's men were blessed because the Lord was with them. But then we come afterwards down to verse 7. And here we learn of Saul, Saul's reaction was when he heard that David was come to Keilah. I think there's an interesting thing to be said, first of all, in this, and that is that in verse 1, it says, Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah. And in verse 7, it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And we have here already a contrast between the two things which are heard. David is willing to go and lay his life on the line to fight the Philistines for the people. Saul rather would take David's life, and doesn't care about the people of Keilah at all, because he goes down that he might besiege. You see there in verse 8 that he might besiege David and his men. So I want to consider this with you this evening and see some things which seem to be apparent here. First of all, I want to consider with you Saul's perverse statement. Secondly, David's perceptive stance. And then thirdly, the Lord's preserving sovereignty. Saul's perverse statement. And we see here, first of all, the desired revelation which is made to him, and that is it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. Now, he has already complained, as we have seen in previous chapters, that nobody was on his side. We see there in chapter 22 and verse 7, Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, that there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day? So we see that already he was feeling that everybody was on David's side, and nobody was on his side. And so this is a revelation which he was desiring, that someone would come and tell him where David was. Already Doeg has brought something to his attention, and that was that David had visited Ahimelech at Nob, and that in response to that, Saul slays all of the people there. But now he has this new revelation, and immediately he's ready to go. But what a contrast it is. What a depraved reaction this is. Because instead of saying, well, that's tremendous, I'm really pleased that David has done something for the kingdom and that he's not just working against me, and that saved me mustering my army, that I bring my army down to Keilah to fight against the Philistines. And if David has gone down there, that's a great thing and that's a good thing, and perhaps I'll give him a bit of a reprieve because obviously he's not fighting against me. No such thing. But rather, he is willing now to fight against Keilah itself, which is an Israelite settlement and town. In fact, it has gates and bars, we read in verse 7. And David would be shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And so Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. That seems a bit of an overkill, just to take David. And even if we were to say that he sought to kill David and his men, we were considering a couple of times ago how that David had said to Abiathar that he should stay with him, that because he that seeketh David's life sought his life, and with him he would be in safeguard. We were thinking about the communion of the community of David's men. So they were all together, and even if Saul was doing that, but he's called the people together to war. To war. Now, the Philistines are doing all of this marauding around the villages and around the towns of Israel, and yet he calls the people to war to fight with David and not to fight with the Philistines. That's a depraved reaction. It's no wonder that the psalmist writes on a number of occasions concerning this, but in one particular place, Psalm 35 and verse 12, he writes, "They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul." They rewarded me evil for good. You know, sometimes we wonder why the world looks upon us and upon the church in the way that it does. There are many things, of course, which people who are churchgoers, not even necessarily the Lord's people, but churchgoers, nevertheless, who have helped many. And we know that even today there are many churches which are bringing together packages of food for those who don't have enough and who are there to help the community round about. And so much good is done. I'm always mindful of the fact, if you listen to any of the Christian radio programs or any of the stations, UCB or Premier Radio, how many adverts there are looking for donations to this charity or that charity. Because Christians are very giving, and they are willing to give. They are willing to give time. They're willing to give finance. They're willing to give all kinds of things. And yet the world looks on and says, well, it's a waste of time. And they seem to be against the people of God at every turn. And it's a similar thing here, isn't it? This depraved reaction that David, though he fought on Saul's side, though he fought for the people of Israel, nevertheless, the enemy still seeks his soul, still seeks to destroy him. In Jeremiah 12 and verse 2, we read this interesting verse, "Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins." Near in their mouth and far from their reins. And we've mentioned this before, just to remind you that the reins are the kidneys. They are the renal, the same word here. And it speaks about that which directs and guides. And that was the understanding kind of spiritually or metaphorically, the same way as we might say, oh, you've hurt me to my heart. And we're not talking about the pump in our bodies, but just ourselves. And so the reins are thought of in that way. Near in the mouth, far from the reins. And you see that in these words of Saul, because it says there in verse 7, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand. God hath delivered him. Well, there, see, is the name of God upon his lips. I just want to stop for a moment, because there is this possibility also, and that is that the word Elohim is a plural, and it's used all the way through the scriptures of Jehovah. And even when his name is used as a singular, so Jehovah, which is his name, is still connected to the word Elohim, which is a plural. And we kind of take that as Trinitarians, that represents God in his three persons. It's not a very good argument, but nevertheless, it works perfectly well and certainly doesn't mitigate against it. But it is possible that here he is saying that the gods have delivered him into my hand. It is possible, because there were a lot of gods at that time. And we know that the Israelites did turn aside after different gods. They turned aside after Baal, Ashtaroth, and some of the other gods as well of the nations. Those gods which the Lord had said, do not follow after their gods, but destroy and break down their altars and cast them out of the land. We know that Saul eventually goes even to the witch of Endor and seeks one who has a familiar spirit. So it is possible that he says here the gods, but he does later on also say, blessed be ye of Jehovah, verse 21. But again, well, we can't be sure what he is saying there, because obviously these people who have come to him to say where David is, they believed in Jehovah, or at least that was the safest way of going about things. And so we can't really see where Saul's heart is at all here. And certainly it is not on the Lord's side, because he seeks to slay the anointed of the Lord. So it's a depraved reaction that we have here, and a deluded recipient also, because he says, God or the gods have delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut up by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. But we read that the Lord did not deliver him into his hand. And if we just go down to verse 14, it says, and David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in the mountain in the wilderness of Ziph, and Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And that is the same word, Elohim, in the plural, but it was the Lord. And so we'll take it that way. But I just wanted to set that there before you of the possibility. But God delivered him not into his hand. So here is a direct counter to what Saul had said. Saul had said, God's delivered him into my hand. But the Lord had not delivered him into his hand at all. Not at all. And we know that the Lord is on the side of his people. He is with us to deliver us. And we are trusting in him that he will yet deliver us and continue to deliver us to the end. But the recipient of this news is deluded. We know from 1 Samuel 16 and verse 14, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And so it seems, once again, that this evil spirit is with him and is working in his heart. We know that it was then that David first came across Saul, because David was called to play the harp. Again, 1 Samuel 16, verse 16, as the servants of Saul said, let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. So David first came across Saul. This is where it all started. And when Saul is chasing after him, here is this young man who came to help him. It's so sad that it had got to this state, that this perverseness in Saul's heart, because he had rejected the Lord, because he had turned aside from the Lord, because he had never really followed the Lord from the beginning. even though he had prophesied. There is nothing really in the words of 1 Samuel which would give us hope that Saul actually knew the Lord. He seemed always to be ready to go for, and we've seen this over and over again, to go and do his own thing. But David, in contrast, is seeking the Lord. He has been brought to seek the Lord. He's been returned to the seeking of the Lord. We know that while David was playing on one occasion in 1 Samuel 19 and verse 9, that the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. And David played with his hand, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. So there is an evil with Saul, an evil which he is hearing, a depravity, a perversity. He seeks David, but he has no heart for the work of the Lord or to deliver Israel. And it seems it is incumbent upon him, pressed upon him, in actual fact, at the end of the chapter in verse 27, when the messenger came unto Saul, saying, "Haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." And so he breaks off and goes after them. But Keilah, it's only a small town, we don't have to worry about that. But David worried, didn't he? And David was to become the king, and David had a concern for all of the people, even his own men, who said, "Well, we are fearful here where we are in Judah, and if we go and fight with the Philistines, we're going to be even more afraid." And David asked the Lord even so that he might comfort them, and that they might know that it was the Lord's purpose. He had a care for the people. And again, here's a picture, a foreshadowing, if you like, of the Lord Jesus. He had a care for his servants, and a care also for us, for you, and for me. But Saul sought to slay him. But then we come secondly to David's perceptive stance. First of all, there is this suspicion, a suspicion that Saul would attack him there. In verse 9, "And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, 'Bring hither the ephod.'" So he has a suspicion that there is going to be something from Saul now that he has come down to Keilah. I don't know how much he knew of what was going on. He certainly, when he comes before the Lord, he says to the Lord, "Thy servant," in verse 10, "thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake." So it seems that there is some spying going on. And this is not the one-way street that people are coming to Saul to say where David is, but the people are also leaving Saul and coming to David to tell David what Saul's doing. And the Lord has this balance. It's a tremendous thing, the way the Lord balances things out, and he is able to deliver us. And so David has this suspicion, and he is under no illusion but that Saul sought to slay him. And David, I would suggest to you, also is fearful lest he attract the slaughter upon the men of Keilah that had rained down upon the men of Nob. Remember, as he went to see Ahimelech there in the beginning of verse 21, and then Saul being told by Doeg that he had been there, and then Doeg is the one who, at the behest of Saul, goes and slays not just Ahimelech, but his servants, and then goes to Nob itself, to the town, and slays there the people of the town. And David, as we considered a couple of weeks ago, says in verse 22, "I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. I have connected them to me." And by connecting them to me, if you remember that message, by connecting them to me, they were under the same ire of Saul that I am under, and they have slain them. And I think that probably David has this still very much weighed upon his heart, and he is fearful. He is fearful that Saul is going to come and fight against Keilah and destroy them. Because he says he have certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. To destroy the city for my sake. And of course, if Saul came down and the city was closed up with gates and bars, and Saul was going to besiege the city, then there would be a possibility of a great slaughter there. So he has a suspicion. And he goes before the Lord to ask the Lord what he should do. I think that sometimes, and a lot of the commentators that I've read kind of turn on the men of Keilah and say, well, this is, they weren't very faithful, considering that David came down and delivered them, and they wouldn't even stand by him. But I don't think that's what's on David's heart here. I think David is a realist. I think David recognizes that the men of Keilah will deliver him up. And it's not necessarily the fact that they're going to bind him and deliver him up. It could easily be just as much that David would say, well, if it's me or everybody, then deliver me up, and that they would do so. So there are many ways that that could play out. And we know that David had a concern, and we know that David already felt a guilt upon himself, although it wasn't really down to him. That it was Saul's sin that had slain the men of Ahimelech's house. But perhaps he is thinking here that it would be so easy to be delivered up by the men of Keilah, whether they did so in fear, because they would have no doubt have heard that the priests have been slain. If he's going to slay the priests, then surely he will slay us. And that he had gathered an army, all of the mighty men, the choice of the people. Remember what Samuel had said right at the beginning when they wanted a king in the first place. He had said, he will take your young men, that they will be soldiers in his army. He will choose the best of them. And so they're going to bring what counted as an elite force against Keilah. And the men of Keilah, well, they're just ordinary people, farmers, in fact. But we find that they were the Philistines were stealing from the threshing floors. And what were they going to do against an army? So really we can see that the men of Keilah, they may not have been faithful, who can tell? But I think that they would have played out the same way whether they were faithful or not, because they would just all have died together, and David would have died there as well. That David, under this suspicion, goes before the Lord and says to the Lord, will Saul come down? I've heard that he's going to come. I've heard that he's going to destroy the city for my sake. Will he do that? Will I be delivered up into his hand? And so he comes before the Lord. And we see here this wonderful humility in David now. Because he comes before the Lord, and unlike Saul, David says, O Lord God of Israel. Lord God of Israel. He has seen the Lord as being the God of Israel. And what is best for Israel. And of course the men of Keilah were Israelites. And he has a heart not just for his own safety, but for the safety of the men of Keilah. O Lord God of Israel, thy servant. Three times we have it here. Verse 10. O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard. Verse 11. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? And again, O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. David is the servant of the Lord, and he wants to do what the Lord would have him to do. Remember those words of the Apostle Paul as he was met on the road to Emmaus, and he says to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to him, what wouldst thou have me to do? What wouldst thou have me to do? We need that heart, don't we? To come before the Lord and say to the Lord, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? I am thy servant. Thou art the Lord. Will he come down? Will they deliver me up? What should I do? And so the Lord answers. And it's interesting here also how the Lord answers. In the earlier reading of the beginning of the chapter, we see how that David besought the Lord, and the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. I don't know how the Lord said that to him. whether it was direct or whether perhaps it was through the prophet Gad. We know that Gad had gone down to Moab, and that he had told him not to stay in the hold, but to go back to Judah. And perhaps it was Gad who revealed that information to him, because it's quite specific. Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And then he goes, because the soldiers or the men who are with him are afraid, and he asks the Lord again. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Again, very specific what the Lord is going to do, which makes me wonder whether it was the prophet Gad who actually revealed that to him, because the Lord spoke to his prophets in dreams and in visions, so the scripture tells us, and so the prophets would hear in such a way. Of course, David is referred to as a prophet also in the book of Acts. So perhaps the Lord spoke directly to him. We cannot be sure because the scripture doesn't really reveal that to us. But there is a comparison here, because we see in verse 9 that David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Now it is the time for the priest to come and to bring forth the ephod. Now, the ephod, as we have said previously, was the garment of the priest, and it included the breastplate, and in the breastplate were the Urim and the Thummim, which were two stones, and nobody knows how they worked or what they were to do with them, but it seems that the Urim and the Thummim would give direction when they were used by the high priest to inquire of the Lord for the people of Israel. In Numbers 27 and verse 21, speaking about Joshua, because Numbers it has Joshua there in those days, and it says concerning this, and he, that is Joshua, shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. So Joshua was to stand with Eleazar the priest. Here we find that David does likewise, and he calls Abiathar the priest and says to him, bring hither the ephod, which is probably the Urim and the Thummim, which is included in that ephod. And he asks specific questions, and he receives yes or no answers, which is not the same as before, where the Lord gave specific answers, which is quite interesting. I find that interesting anyway. Here we see then that the Lord, that David asked these questions. Verse 10. O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. That is a yes. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. That is a yes again. And so it's possible that the stones which the Lord had given, and remember that they are sanctified for that purpose. It is not like us throwing a dice or flipping a coin, because that is not sanctified for the purpose. But these stones were sanctified for the purpose that the Lord would give direction by them. And the direction is given. Two yeses, he will come down, and the people will deliver you up. And so David hears the instruction which is given to him, and he is ready to leave. But I want to remind you once again, as we considered last Lord's Day, that it is important that we also have guidance from the Lord. But in 2 Timothy 3:16, I've quoted this verse, or at least a part of it already, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be truly furnished. So it is the word of God, the scriptures. Now, I've said last time that the scriptures which David had was really just the books of Moses, the first five books of the Bible. And possibly there was Joshua and Judges, although it's quite likely that they were compiled by Samuel or someone around that time. He may not even have had them, but he would have known what was going on anyway, because Samuel was someone that he was with. But the point is this, that the scripture is given to us for our guidance. And where David was given that instruction in the first place, as that the Lord would deliver the Philistines into his hand, those things we can learn from the scriptures, that the Lord is on our side. And as we search the scriptures and as we pray through the scriptures and as the Lord speaks to us by the scriptures, that is our guidance. We are not seeking to toss coins, but we are seeking the wisdom of the Lord. He is able to guide us and to direct us by his word. And then we see here the that was the supplication. I'm not sure I gave you the heading for that. I don't know if you're writing the headings or not. So the suspicion, the supplication, then the scattering, because they depart and they scatter. It tells us there in verse 13, and David and his men, which were about 600, we saw before when he was in the cave of Adullam in chapter 22 and verse 2, that the people went to him. They were his brethren. They were those who were in distress. Everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So he has a 50% increase in men. More and more are coming to him. Perhaps some of the men of Kedar have joined themselves to him. But all the time, those who are with him are growing. The Lord is building and building and building until the time, of course, when David is anointed king and the people turn to follow after David rather than the house of Saul. So here they are, the 600. They arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. So David has saved Keilah twice now. Once by going to war, once refusing war. And how careful and wise we must be to know when to choose the battles, where we are to fight and when we are to run. They say retreat is the better part of valor sometimes. And this was a time for retreat. And we know that it's not always the time to stand toe-to-toe and fight. Sometimes it is good just to back off. And that's good advice for us in all walks of life. Sometimes you're better just not to say anything than to try and fight the cause. Sometimes you can make things worse by fighting the cause. And certainly David would have done so. If he had stayed in Keilah, if they had locked up the gates and barred the doors, if they had stood around the fences to fight against the army of Saul, then that besieging would have continued, the siege would have continued, they would have run out of water, they would have run out of food, the people would have died either by battle or by starvation, and in the end David would have been delivered up, whether early on or late on, it would have happened, and it all would have gone wrong. But David takes this departure, this dispersal, as the best way of dealing with this situation. There's no one for Saul to fight with. Saul ultimately wants David's life. And so his men, if they have all scattered, he won't even know who they are, for one thing, so they're safe. Perhaps he won't come down to Keilah, because if David's not there, what's the point? And everything continues on, and the Lord will bring David to his position in the right day. There's another day to fight. We see this scattering is a tactic of David. It's not just the fact that they run away. It's a tactic. Let's all disperse. And then Saul won't know where to go. And by the grace of God, he won't come at all. And he didn't come. It was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth. So Saul didn't bother. And the town was saved twice. And perhaps we don't recognize sometimes the things which the Lord's people do and what the Lord does. So we see finally then the Lord's preserving sovereignty. It is the Lord who has preserved David on all these occasions. It was the Lord who was with him and he went down to Keilah to fight against the Philistines, and he won that battle. It's the Lord who is with David now as Saul is threatening to come and besiege him. It's the Lord who will keep him and protect him while he is there in the wilderness of Ziph and in the wood of Ziph. And we read on, and we haven't come to that far yet, but we find that later on, when Saul comes out to pursue after David, that while Saul is on one side of the mountain, David's on the other side of the mountain, and they never meet, and the Lord's hand is with David to deliver him. We need to trust the Lord. The Lord is on our side, and the Lord will bring us through. The Lord is his defense. There was a town there, a town that hath gates and bars. That sounds like a defensible position. That David could go in there and he would be defended against Saul. And because he had delivered the men of Keilah, they would stand with him and fight. He has 600 men now, rather than the 400 he began with. His army is growing, and there's a place that he can take a stand. But you see, Keilah was not his defense. The Lord was his defense. And sometimes we can look for defense from a carnal attitude. We can look for our defense in the world. We can look for our defense in the way that we fight the battle, when we should be upon our knees and know that the battle is the Lord's. It was God who delivered him not into his hand. And Saul had said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, but no. And Saul was also trusting in the fact that David would do just that. That David would stay in the place with the gates and bars and make the gates and bars his defense. But of course, Saul is not thinking spiritually. He's not thinking as the child of God, because he's not the child of God. And he's perhaps thinking, that's what I would do. But David seeks the Lord. O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard. O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, I beg thee, tell thy servant. And David, because he is willing to do what the Lord would have him to do, rather than his own thoughts, is delivered. Well, we might trust in the Lord. The Lord will deliver us. The Lord will keep us. And there is a time to fight. And there is a time to retreat. And the Lord will guide us in all of those things. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us from this portion of his precious and worthy word.